Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
There's a passion inside you that when you unlock it, it's going to give you all the energy and power in the world to pursue your dreams. So don't wait and don't buy into that narrative, that limiting story.
I'm joined by Thomas Jones, who brings a fresh perspective on transforming negative emotions into powerful personal growth. In this episode, Thomas shares his journey of developing the paradox process, an innovative technique for transforming negative feelings into powerful insight and knowledge. You'll discover how to break through limiting beliefs, shift your internal narrative, and move beyond the stories that hold you back. Thomas offers real-world strategies for entrepreneurs, especially those transitioning from corporate life, on how to recognize and overcome obstacles, set meaningful goals, and tap into the power of community support. If you're looking to unlock your potential and create lasting change, you won't want to miss this conversation. Now let's welcome Thomas Jones. Thomas is a psychotherapist, author, musician, and founder of an innovative technique, the Paradox Process, designed to rapidly change negative feelings into powerful knowledge and insight, essentially how to change your life by learning to direct your mind. In the world of medicine, his approach would be described as renegade. However, the proof is inarguable. Thomas has been highly successful in his work for the last 50 years with a clientele that includes CEOs, television journalists, Oscar, Emmy, and Tony Award-winning performers, doctors, musicians, artists, health coaches, social workers, psychologists, and business professionals across the globe. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
First of all, I have to say, 50 years is a long time to be working on a particular process and like in a particular direction and a particular niche. And it's not surprising that you have impacted all the people that I've described in the introduction, based on the amount of time you've been putting into this, right? And as the co-founder, who else? But yeah, I wanted to actually start out by talking about the paradox process, because I suspect many people listening don't know what it is. So maybe you can start up just by describing what is the paradox process and what is it not?
Fair enough. I'll give you a thumbnail history. I started out as a traditional psychotherapist. And I worked in first group practice and then individual practice. And I discovered that it didn't seem like it moved people forward to get them better at their stories. And so I became frustrated with the idea that we were just improving the narrative that they were in the first place. We weren't really breaking out. I was an ex-hippie. I was always a counterculturalist, even in this field. It irked me that there were so traditional processes that kept you basically in the same lane. And so I got with a partner that we had both worked in therapeutic communities, and we thought, there's a different model. We can come up with something different that can break through, that has nothing to do with your narrative, nothing to do with the old story, but everything to do with what am I feeling now? How do I change what I'm feeling now? How do I gain insight and information? And how do I break ground and go forward? So we started tinkering with many, many different modalities that are out there, including some of the more radical ones like primal therapy and transactional analysis and gestalt therapy. And we stumbled, honestly, on a meditation based on the mantra, accept the unacceptable. Now, neither he nor I was particularly meditative by nature. Nevertheless, we discovered that using this meditation as a vehicle to get to the subconscious, Freud's supposedly black box that you can't penetrate, we penetrated it. And so by using this mantra and stating the issues that we wanted to work on, we discovered that we could break through and clear the emotional charge right away. And what replaced it was very interesting. What replaced it was insight and information. And so it occurred to us that we have a lot of the answers that we need inside if we can only unlock them. And so we started using this meditative process to break through issues. We thought we could teach this in its form, but people didn't have the patience to do a meditation on every single issue that they had. And so we kept working with it until we created a triggering language, a language that was kind of a command language for the mind, where not unlike the keystrokes in a keyboard of a computer, when you hit a certain key or key phrase, it triggers that meditation to go automatic. And you get that same effect, the elimination of emotional charge and insight and information. So armed with these tools, we were very excited about creating transformation for people. It was very exciting. My partner, of course, thought that the world would beat a path to our door. But I was more of a cynic in those days, or maybe a skeptic. And I thought, no, this is going to be a hard sell, because the words you have to use are the same language as everything else that's out there. It's transformative. It's transcendent. It will move you forward. And so through experience and through working with people, often one at a time, we started establishing this process. By now, we've taught thousands and thousands of people. But back then, it was very innovative. We went to the National Institute of Health for some reason, and we were looking for funding. We wanted to do some more research. We particularly wanted an fMRI machine to see what's happening in the brain while we're doing this. And so they sent a researcher down. We put them through the process. He absolutely loved it. And we waited to hear from them, waited a week, waited 2 weeks. Finally, we called and they said, yeah, this is a little too far out there for us. So it was a blessing in disguise, because we would have been under their auspices and have to follow their rules. So we were free to develop this process on our own. And that's kind of the evolution of the process. What we have now is a command language for the mind. So if you had an issue, you would take that issue and identify the strongest emotion and then start going after it one sentence at a time and unmaking the upset. And as you unmake it, you release insight and information about the issue. So it's an interesting process.
I like the fact that you stumbled upon it. That's often how things happen.
Yeah.
When you kind of don't expect them.
Yeah, we were feeling around in the dark a little bit there. And but yeah, we did stumble on it, and we're as surprised as anyone else that this little meditation could have the power to penetrate the subconscious mind. Because again, you know, it's the big dark mystery. It's where all the bad things are stored, and it, you know, it's supposedly locked in, but we found a way to open it up and clear it out, frankly. What we're up to now, and you know, my big thrust now is changing people's internal narrative, changing the story that they live into. And I imagine that speaks to your work as well, yeah?
Very much so. And I wondered if you could share an example of how this process works and how it's different.
Yeah. So the people that I work with, the people that come to me, are generally people that are successful but have found blocks in their lives. They've gotten so far and no further, and now they want to break through. And so what becomes interesting to me is to identify the story that they're in. And, you know, the story can be, it can be a set of limiting beliefs, like I've gone as far as I can go, I don't have the resources to do more, the corporate structure won't let me move forward, I'm not suited to this work. It's a whole series of limiting beliefs. And we work with those limiting beliefs and bust them one at a time in a way that they see this is not necessarily so. And so it gives people enormous freedom to realize they've been telling themselves a story. And when they're not in that story anymore, Now they're in possibility. You know, if we uncover the truth about ourselves, we'll discover a yes person, somebody who feels a lot of possibility and potential and is genuinely excited about life. But we get so weighed down by the events of life and our interpretation of those events that we lose our momentum, we lose our will. And so breaking through, you know, I had an actress who just couldn't get further than being a nominee, right? And she was a nominee 6 times, for which I thought, you know, that's pretty good. But it isn't what she wanted. And so we got into her story, and it was about, they'll never pick someone like me, right? And I can go into why and how and the racial aspects of it and so on. But nevertheless, she had these limiting beliefs. And when you're in a limiting belief, it looks very true. And so you got to get past the illusion that those limits are real and recognize you're projecting them onto a situation. So long story short, we worked on those limiting beliefs. She got her Tony. She got 2 more. And now she's arrogant. But but, you know, she earned it. So God bless her.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. You're right. We certainly see this play out with entrepreneurs, and particularly people who are coming out of the corporate world. There are some elements of the corporate structure, and you know, maybe it's part of the review process that you hear when you're an employee. There's a lot of focus on things you can't do, or things they think you can't do, or things that you're not doing as well as they want. And it often leads to a lot of frustration. And one of the things I always say to entrepreneurs is, as if you're an employee and you're producing 90% of what they want, you're probably going to hear about that 10% gap quite a lot. And as an entrepreneur, if you're right more than 10% of the time, you're probably doing really well, right? And it's a very different way of looking at things.
That's an interesting comparison right there, because you're absolutely right. You know, one of the comparisons I use is that even a star baseball player makes out 7 times out of 10, right? That
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the greatest hunter in the animal kingdom, the cheetah, fails 90% of the time. And so you're right. That's a ridiculous metric to be dashing ourselves against. And you can imagine what it does to your self-confidence and your self-esteem and your enthusiasm and belief in yourself. You know, working in the box can be a grind. And if you don't know how to think out of the box, you're going to be at the mercy of that.
Yeah. So what are some things that corporate refugees can do to help themselves think out of the box?
Yeah.
And be more successful as they're making the transition from employee to entrepreneur, and then really kind of burst forth once they're in their stride as an entrepreneur.
I think the first thing I would tell them is thank your God and the stars that you don't fit. Thank God you don't fit in, because, you know, 5% of the world changes 95% of the changes in the world. It is a good thing that you don't fit, because it means you're thinking differently. And honor your uniqueness, honor your individuality. But while you're at it, take an assessment of those limiting beliefs that are in your way and, you know, get them out of the way in whatever way you can. Now, I use the paradox process because it's very quick and easy to get those beliefs out of the way. But whatever way you need to, don't believe your beliefs. Don't believe those limitations. And, you know, trust that little kid in you that has the inspiration and the drive and the excitement and the dream. You know, somehow our ability to imagine and to dream and to scheme has been kind of filtered out of us and turned us into rational human beings. God help us. And I think it's a crime to humanity, because we are dreamers, we are imaginers, we are excited beings that when we put our enthusiasm together with our skill set, we can make anything happen. And I would say, you know, this sounds cheap and easy, but step one, believe in yourself. Okay. You're lucky you didn't fit in. And by the way, the reason you didn't fit in is because you chose not to. You may think you didn't fit and they didn't, and they rejected you. But own your power. Recognize that, you know what? There was a part of you that said, I don't want to. And that's the best part of you. So I would say be encouraged. You know, stepping out of that system is step one toward your freedom and your excitement. And frankly, I would rather fail at something I'm passionate about than succeed at something that's mind-numbing and deadening. I would. I really would.
Yeah, no. That's actually a really important statement. Yeah. So step one is just recognize the fact that you don't fit. Be proud of the fact that you don't fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And recognize that you chose it.
And recognize that you chose it.
Yeah. Why you would want to fit into a machine and be a perfect cog in a machine is beyond me in the first place. Right.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, so I can't argue with right. that. what would be the next thing once you kind of identify where your limiting beliefs are holding you back?
I call myself a dreamer, but a practical dreamer, right? And so first order of business is divest yourself of those limiting beliefs and the limitations that you set on yourself. The second order of business is set a goal. There's an exercise that I give called 3-6-12-2-5. 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, right? People really resist the five-year one, by the way. They don't want to imagine themselves at that age. But what I have people do is make two columns within that. One, the outcomes that they want, and two, the experience that they want to have with those outcomes, okay? And so you start mapping out your schemes and dreams, your plans, your hopes, your aspirations, and you start putting it down on paper. Now, it's not written in stone. This is an aspirational document. It's supposed to inspire you. And so you're allowed to change it and move it around and so forth. But the order of business is this. Get a plan, okay, one that has your goals within it. Because the minute you do that, your mind starts reorganizing in a different way, okay? You start value tagging what you are seeing, and you start recognizing, I'm in a plan, right? Next step I tell them is pick one of those smaller goals, maybe the easiest one, and start creating small, achievable steps toward that easy goal. And why do we do this? Because we're going to build a history of success, okay? And so take any task and just start taking easy steps toward it. Because success is success. It feels like success, whether it's a giant step or a small one. And as you continue to build that equity of success, you're going to gain momentum, and you're going to be able to challenge those bigger goals as you go. So it's really about set big goals, now make small steps, and take one step at a time. And before you know it, you will start achieving. Now, along the way, things are going to come up. Here's where the process comes in. Emotions are going to come up. Fear, frustration, anger, annoyance, challenge, difficulty, all of these things are natural to any building process. And so I would encourage people, don't get discouraged when you feel these things. Recognize that these are the milestones that you need to be passing and working through in order to get where you want to go. And so fear, you know, there's a great acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real, right? And don't buy your fears. Notice them, work with them, and then move past them. And, you know, I was working with a young kid, he was 29, but in my world, he's young. And he said, he just got out of business school. He said, I can't get through these fears and anxieties. So I said, so what? Take them with you, okay? They're not real anyway, but if you can't divest yourself of them, take them with you. Do what you got to do anyway and watch what happens as you take power away from them, as you disattention them. So you look for the obstacles. Don't be surprised when they show up actually be encouraged because that's what progress looks like.
Yeah. Also, even if you're able to make a very infinitesimal incremental improvement a week at a time or a month at a time, by the end of 3 months or 6 months or 2 years or 5 years, you've made a lot of progress. It adds up.
It all adds up. I was telling somebody the other day, if you make 1% improvement every day, in 100 days, you're going to be 100% improved.
Yeah, if you compound it, it's more than 100%.
It's more than 100%.
Right?
But yeah, we got to reframe life so that we preserve our enthusiasm and our excitement for it. Somehow, you know, life can be debilitating, depressing, you know, daunting. And you got to have a couple of things. You got to have tools, and you've got to have a social circle that supports you, that supports your vision, that supports your goals, that allows you to feel like I'm where I should be. I'm moving through this.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the social circle, because that's actually where I wanted to go next, particularly since I lead a community and I see how beneficial community can be during this whole entrepreneurial journey. I wondered what thoughts you have about how community or social circle can be most supportive as you're going, right, as you're working towards these goals.
So there's a couple of things I notice as you start focusing on getting where you want to go. You're going to notice the naysayers in your life, okay? Because there are a few of them. They didn't seem toxic until you started trying to get somewhere. And those people will fall away because they're not additive. They're not useful. I run a class every Monday night for people to jump in and grow together. And here's what I discovered about group mind. Group mind is a lot smarter than individual mind. Group mind is a lot more powerful. You know, if I got three friends I need to talk to and they have three different points of view, I can triangulate that and understand things in a different way that I didn't see on my own. So I think having people, colleagues, friends, associates that can give you feedback, and it has to be people that are not trying to be nice to you, that are honest with you because they want to get somewhere. You know, it's a positive contract called let's keep each other honest, right? And I find that that kind of atmosphere, you're going to hold yourself accountable as well as having people holding you accountable. And so it's tremendously supportive. When I don't have the strength to go forward and I can look at the group of people who are behind me, that gives me strength, right? When I see these lunatics believe in me, okay, I think I can go forward, right? And so—
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
It totally does. You know, what do they say? No man is an island. And I was talking to a girl the other day who said, I want to do this on my own. And I said to her, nobody does anything on their own. I don't know any successes who have done it on their own. So that's an illusion. You know, that's some silly little trope that people get in their heads and think, oh, that's how it should be. No, it's a collaboration. And the better you are at collaborating, the more likely you are to succeed.
Very true. Very true. Thomas, is there anything else you want to share before we end the episode? I know we've covered a lot of territory and some really important points.
Well, you know, I could talk forever, but I will say this, that be encouraged. Okay. Do not give up your dreams. And the more people that tell you you're wrong, the more likely you are to be right. Okay. Follow your dreams, follow your goals. This is not a practice life. This is the real thing. And so don't waste time doing things that you don't want to be doing. There's a passion inside you that when you unlock it, it's going to give you all the energy and power in the world to pursue your dreams. So don't wait and don't buy into that narrative, that limiting story.
Wonderful. Very important. Thomas, if someone wants to go deeper with anything we've talked about today, access any of your resources or learn more about you, where's the best place to go?
They can go to the website, paradoxprocess.org. Okay. And there you can get a free session of the paradox process, because I know it sounds a little obscure when I'm just describing it. I give people the experience of it. I do run a class every Monday night. We pick a topic. This week's topic, by the way, is creating an internal advocate for yourself, right? And yeah, information. I have a relationship book, Love Games, The Hidden Rules of Relationship. I'm putting out another book this probably October. So yeah, www.paradoxprocess.org, Instagram at paradoxprocess. And I don't know the rest.
Well, sounds good. And we'll include these all in the show notes. Thomas, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share some great insights and some techniques that people can use to make huge improvements in their lives. So thank you so much. My guest today has been the co-founder and executive director of the Paradox Process, Thomas Jones. Thank you, Thomas, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.